What I would like to do is tell a short story, a narrative, which really is about, I think it is about architecture, it is about peace, and about neglect. And I am interested in neglect because usually neglect is a force which is seen as a negative force. In a way, same way as the peace is seen as a negative force of war, as defined by Kant. What I would like to do is to kind of just read a piece that I wrote for Cabinet magazine based on a photo that actually Shoba sent me, found on the internet. You can pass it around. And also would like to say that in this piece, I actually haven't done any creative work. This is one of the kind of like writings which are completely dependent on different sources. It's almost like working as a DJ in this case. I'd like to make a parallel with this kind of working, maybe in a kind of way how to live in peace, in some sense, analogically. Also, this may be also kind of a story about undisciplinary and a non-discipline, because we can equate war with a discipline and sort of a lack of discipline with one sort of peace. So, for people who don't know this situation, this is one building in a small town in Bosnia called Kalesia, and it is really about this photograph that has become. I've sent it to all my friends I have, and what was amazing to me is that I received an array of different responses about what they think this is. So. This piece is really about that. So, thanks Shoba for the photo. I did some further research on blogs in the Bosnian blogosphere. And also, I have to thank to Cabinet magazine because a lot of this back and forth happened with Cabinet in terms of editing and what this might mean. The future of neglect. A friend sent me this photograph which was taken by someone in Kalesia, a town in the Tuzla canton within the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina. It depicts the corner of a building whose exterior has been renovated and painted in a vivid optimistic color, the peach color, somewhere between peach and orange. A sharply defined area has been omitted from the new renovation. It appears to be the facade of a single apartment. On the old concrete walls that are not covered with the new paint, one can still spot traces of decay. On closer inspection, one can also see what appear to be bullet marks dispersed across the raw surface, as if the building had been randomly fired upon. A large satellite dish, the white one, the largest of the men in the image, sits on the balcony of the apartment. The perfect outline of the unrenovated area suggests that it is the result of purposeful neglect. I sent this image to various friends and colleagues, as well as to blogs and social networking sites, without much description, other than a caption reading, "Wonderful neglect," and a note stating where it was taken. The responses were surprisingly diverse. On one end of the spectrum, the image was read as a symbol of civil disobedience, resistance to renovation that in its collective character too strongly echoed an older ethos of socialist solidarity. At the other extreme were pragmatic interpretations that understood the gesture as a strictly financial one. This was best summarized in a wry note from a colleague who wondered if the owner had spent all his money on the satellite dish on his terrace instead. Since I first circulated the image, I have learned more about the circumstances surrounding the renovation. As it turns out, the unrenovated section is one of the two areas left out. So this is only one, in fact. The two areas marked the facade belonged to two distinct apartments that reportedly did not contribute money to the reconstruction of the entire building. At least one of the owners lives abroad. In the summer of 2007, the municipality of Kalesia
decided to paint this particular building together with a few others in order to make the town better and more beautiful, because it is peace. However, despite its good intentions, the city did not have sufficient funds to pay for the entire project, and the owners of the individual apartments were also asked to contribute towards the restoration. In a way, a co-op or condominium fee increase would be used in the US context to fund general work on the building as a form of participation in funding. Now, it is not possible to know with certainty the motivations of the owners who rebuffed the city's request, but their refusal does open a space of speculation, particularly given the complex social dynamics of the area. Before the war, and I have to say this, these images were published in a cabinet magazine with a caption, which actually I did not put in. It was put by cabinet, which says, "I'd rather not." Last night, John and I were actually talking about this, that it may come from Melville's first novel about Scrivener, who repeatedly would say, "I would prefer not to do something what he was asked to do." We can talk about it later. So it is a particular way of refusal. Before the war, Kalesia was predominantly Bosnian Muslim, today known as Bosniak for some, with a small Serbian minority. On May 2, 1992, during the early stages of the Bosnian War, the Bosnian-Serbian army overran the town and started to displace the Muslims. Only 20 days later, the Bosnian forces reclaimed the city back. Many of the Serbs who originally lived in Kalesia now fled. So it was a kind of a double sweeping. Today, the town is 99% Bosniak. The years following the 1995 Dayton Accords, which ended the war in Bosnia, saw concerted efforts toward urban renewal across the country. In Tuzla, nearby, the government plan of 2000 already for the return of the displaced populations noted that residents who had fled had started to return in significant numbers by 1998, though they largely consisted of Bosniaks from other parts of Bosnia and a little bit from abroad. The return of Serbs to towns like Kalesia was reportedly as minimal, but significant enough to inspire the government further encourage Serbs to return with a scheme for better financial aid. There was a program which would kind of give grants to kind of come back. In larger Bosnian towns, in comparison, such as Mostar and Sarajevo, the urban renewal took the form of conventional reconstruction of buildings and sometimes entire areas that had been shelled during the war. Though included in many international preservation lists and often used as case studies in design and preservation curriculums in North American universities, such cities have nevertheless had a difficulty securing long-term international aid. The iconic parts of Mostar, like the old bridge, were only finally reconstructed through complex partnership between UNESCO, the World Bank, and the local government. Meanwhile, the status of Sarajevo's 1997 application to the World Heritage List as a, quote, unique symbol of universal multiculture is still listed as tentative, quote unquote, on the UNESCO's website. The situation is different in towns like Kalesia. There, the individual initiatives are more typical, with citizens organizing themselves to repair their architectural surroundings. The social conditions have also given rise to self-styled developers who transform property formerly controlled by the socialist government, successfully adapting, say, collective housing into condominiums while making their little fortunes. And then there are the chronically underfunded municipal authorities, as was the case with the building in question, right here. It is entirely possible that the two owners refused to participate in the renovation simply because of their financial situations, this is what I would found on blogs, in fact, looking around. The fact that at least one of them lives abroad, however, to some extent undermines this mundane reading. A more critical interpretation, however, might ask questions about the politics of refusal in the post-war era of abrupt democratization. For some who witnessed the destruction of the town during the war, the bullet holes are not simply an eyesore to be covered up, but also a testament to the suffering of the entire population. If, however, the decision to keep the bullet holes visible is motivated by a desire to assign blame, we may not know whether the damage was caused by the initial Serbian offensive or the Bosnian counterattack. But perhaps the owners do know that, and they do not want to tell us that. Then the testimony of the building points away from the general sense of a grief and toward the continuation of the war by other symbolic means, i.e., person would like to keep the bullet holes because of knowledge that is not being revealed. The value of speculation like this lies less in the particular case of one apartment building in a Bosniak town than in the larger question about the future of neglect as a strategy within democratic values and systems. Is negligence a tool that can operate with a force equal to that of urban reconstruction that brings color between peach and pink? Is refusing to renovate as powerful a statement as renovating? And in a larger sense, if there is not enough money to upgrade a particular building or an element of municipal infrastructure, should citizens be allowed to refuse when asked to contribute? And if they do contribute, should they have a voice in how their money is used and in the way participation is managed and directed? The owners of the two unrenovated apartments in Kalesia here answered these questions with their inactions. What is striking is the precision, and this is really the most striking thing for me, is the precision and respect with which the town officials marked out the owner's dissent, which is this very sharp line, probably the sharpest one ever built in the region. It's to delineate, you know, who they are. The perfectly delineated edge marking the boundary between what personal property is, renovated, and what is not, speaks to the new ability to refuse the image of reconstruction. It is an inspiring precedent for the future of neglect that suggests a future for neglect as a tool for integrated exceptionality.